On my line is my guest, Dr. Eli Kalmon. He's a senior researcher at the International Institute for Counterterrorism. And we're going to talk briefly about events in Iran. We're going to be brought up to speed. But really what I want to concentrate on today is the effect of the unrest and what it means for the Iranian proxies, because I think that has tremendous implications for Israel and the Western world in general. So, Dr. Kalmon, shalom lecha. Thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon and shalom. Thank you for having me.
So I've got a whole bunch of questions that I wanted to speak to you about, but before I even get there, I'm just looking at the headlines coming out of Israel this afternoon, the Israeli press, the Times of Israel. Trump said to tell Iran he's not about to attack as U.S. returns troops to Qatar airbase. All news resources saying the same thing, that the U.S. will not attack the Islamic Republic. Are you surprised by this development?
I would say it's quite obvious that President Trump is using his, I would say, very strange strategic movements, because if we remember, just before the 12 days war against Iran in June last year, he declared that he gave Prime Minister Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister, kind of advice, or I would say even a directive, not to attack Iran. And 48 hours later, not only Israel attacked Iran, but also United States took part in the short war, bombing the very important nuclear targets in Iran. So it could be possible a kind of reversal of his decision to support the rebellion, I would say, popular rebellion in Iran, because some concerns inside his own party, his MAGA movement. Some of the people in the establishment are isolationists. For instance, even the Vice President Vance. We hear just now that President of Turkey, Erdogan, which consider him himself as a very close friend of President Trump, he said Turkey is completely opposed to any American intervention in Iran. So perhaps there are considerations of internal and foreign policy that convinced him at the last moment to change. But at the same time, we can say that perhaps this is a kind of maneuver in order to attack by surprise, like in June 2025.
Interesting take on it. I must say, everything you say about MAGA is something I've been saying here for the week. I'm saying he won't attack because he can't attack. His base won't support an attack. But I also read about 2 days ago the Israeli press saying that the Israelis, and I think it might have been the Emiratis, I'm not sure, saying it was too early to attack. They needed to wait until there was more momentum or the time was right. Would there be any relationship to that advice or not?
No, I think that President Trump was very sincerely very concerned of what he saw on TV. We know from past experience that he's very impressed by what he sees on TV. And clearly the massacre of so many people in front of the cameras of TV all over the world convinced him that his move is a very positive one. Although he is against interventions or against wars, in this case he wanted to save the Iranian people. He took this decision. I think that if we'll not attack now, and if the regime will indeed clamp down forcefully on the population, it will, I would say, I think that it will influence negatively on his image, not only in Iran, but including in the United States and in the world. Because, and on the other hand, I can't say that it's very strange that if you look to countries like Europe, Australia, Asia, and even South Africa, there is no attempt by the local authorities, by the right human rights organizations, by all those who support to do something, to manifest themselves. And you see it in 1 week, at least perhaps 10,000, 12,000 people have been killed. And this is not a war. It's a war against its own population. So it's very, you know, today it's very strange to evaluate the behavior of countries, of leaders of states. Even if you look to our region, today there is a crisis between former allies, Saudi Arabian Emirates, and Saudi Arabia is trying to strengthen its relationship with Iran, which is indeed the real threat and the real enemy of Saudi Arabia.
So I want to move on to this issue of the proxies, because I think certainly from an Israeli perspective, that is possibly the real main story here. And I'm wondering to what extent Iran being confronted by its most serious internal unrest in decades, protests everywhere, collapsing currencies, violent crackdowns, is this going to shape in any way their regional strategy vis-a-vis their proxies?
I think that already we know that most of the proxies of Iran have been weakened during the last 2 years of war. First of all, Hezbollah in Lebanon, which was the main, practically the main arm of the Iranian theocratic regime in the fight against Israel. And even after the ceasefire and the attacks by Israel against Hezbollah targets which do not respect the order of disarmament, we see that Hezbollah is not yet capable or willing to respond. The Houthis have stick to their policy not to attack Israel after the ceasefire in Gaza, although we see that from time to time Hamas people or militants or terrorists are killed by Israeli. So this is the result, first of all, of the Israeli military success, and on the other hand, the fact that the Iranian regime has been hit very strongly by the decapitation of most of the military and Revolutionary Guards leadership, and also the nuclear scientists. So I think that, by the way, this was one of the reasons why the population came up to revolt against the regime, because they understood that the regime is quite feeble, it is quite incapable even to defend its own country.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm just wondering whether it's always the unintended consequences which are the frightening ones, and I'm wondering to what extent now that Iran is weakened vis-a-vis its own proxies, what this means for Israel in terms of the fact that won't they just be acting out of their own, without being directed by Iran, but rather out of their own motives? And is that possibly not even more dangerous?
Israel is in a very difficult situation. This government especially has a big dilemma, because even in the issue of the ceasefire and the second phase of the negotiations for the future fate of Gaza Strip, we see that the American administration is advancing, at least politically, by introducing practically the Palestinian Authority inside the theocratic, government that was proposed by President Trump and his team. Most of the people, the 15 people which will form the future technocrats government, are members, former members or important members in the Palestinian Authority establishment. But at the same time, there is no solution for the disarmament of Hamas, and there is no international force which is able to disarm the Hamas remaining forces. The same dilemma is in Iran, because even the United States now does not attack the regime, especially the repressive infrastructure and repressive machine of the regime. I mean, the Revolutionary Guards and the Basij. This means that with we return to the possible or potential nuclear negotiations. And I think that in this case, again, the United States will not be in a very strong position vis-à-vis the regime if it lets it control the outcome of this very, very important rebellion without leading to some kind of alternative. And I think there are alternatives in order to change the regime. But if the regime continues to be in power, it will continue to play also on the issue of the nuclear program and the building of a new huge infrastructure of long-range missiles,
which threaten, really,
first of all, Israel. Not only Israel, but it threatens all the region.
See, my next question was going to be exactly on that point, saying to you, in order for this regime to survive, surely they have to play the game differently. Surely they have to say, I've got to feed my people, I've got to give them water, I've got to give them electricity, and I can't be wasting money on programs that bring no benefit. Surely that has to be the case. Or are they so absolutely tied to their own ideological beliefs that they'll go to the wall and massacre people time and time over again in order to keep some crazy religious fantasy alive? What's your take on it?
But this is a regime which is a theocratic regime which believes that they have the truth, the final truth, and from there, from their point of view, the lives and the conditions of their own people is less important than the success of the Islamic Revolution. And the Islamic Revolution, we must remember, it was always considered to be an export of this revolution in all the region. This includes Lebanon, this includes Gaza Strip, the Houthis in Yemen, and even in Africa. So they will continue to try to return to this kind of strategy by using the same kind of long-term negotiations, trying to cheat, and also, in this case, trying at any cost to achieve a nuclear capability. And the question is, if there will be negotiations instead of a regime change, if the United States will be able, the President Trump will be able to build or to achieve a new agreement which indeed controls the project, nuclear project of Iran, and stop this in order not to permit a regime to achieve a capability which will completely survive, make it survival possible vis-à-vis the international community, vis-à-vis the United States, vis-à-vis Israel.
Dr. Carmon, these are fascinating times. We're going to check in again and catch up with you on the latest developments in Iran, I'm sure sooner rather than later. Toda rabba lecha, that was fascinating.